I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, we're on. Oh,
Jesus.
Hello, and welcome back to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. I'm very surprised and confused, Cliff.
You certainly are. You've got a new computer, haven't you, Cliff? And it's playing all sorts of tricks.
It is.
Including starting when you're not ready.
And my finger was wobbly on the trigger.
Itchy trigger finger.
If it was a gun, you'd be shot.
Yeah, would be. Yes, I'd be dead. And I'm Brett, by the way. That's me.
One of the reasons I'm confused is because you've got a T-shirt just saying Stephen King. So
it is based on the book by Stephen King.
Can't see that bit. I thought it was just like a name badge.
Yeah, okay. Could be. What you got any writing on your T-shirt today, or is it just
plain? Plain black? Sick of getting abuse. I'm just wearing black clothes in the hope I'll fade into the background.
That could happen. That's always been my plan.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
Is that a bare leg you've got?
No, it isn't a bear's leg. It's me own. I do have the grey trousers.
Of course.
Oh,
and a foot there. Right. No socks.
And a foot. Yeah, I also have feet. And no socks. I hate socks. I don't like things or people touching my feet.
Nothing touching me, but the floor will touch your feet if you've got no shoes on. Is that all right?
Yeah, carpets are all right, though, aren't they?
But you've got, you haven't got carpet in every room, have you?
Mm-hmm. Carpet in every room. It's carpeted throughout, apart from the kitchen and the bathroom.
That was the room I was referring to.
Was it? Hey, did your, when you were a kid, Cliff, did your bathroom have carpet?
I think it might have. I know, but there was Lino, wasn't there?
Who?
Before he
Lionel?
Became big in the Thundercats, he used to do a canny floor.
He used to do a canny bit of flooring. No, I'm sure we had a carpet in one of our bathrooms, which,
yes,
you know, is a terrible error.
My mum and dad have a carpet in theirs.
Do they? I mean, they obviously must be very careful in the bathroom not to splish splash around.
But they're adults, Brett.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Do you not do a bit of splish splashing?
I'm always sitting down. I've told you before.
Oh, yeah. Sitting down. Yeah, you've got the, what's that thing called that you have in the bathroom? Shatov or something. Shatov.
Oh, the Shatov.
The Shatov. Yes.
I can't use it. I can't use it.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
I just can't use it. It makes an almighty mess. I'm not. There is splish and splashing when that goes on.
See, exactly. I knew that was going on.
People are like, I can't believe you don't know how to use it. But I'm like, but how? It's just a hose that you press a trigger and it fucking blasts water in your arse. Like, how do you do it so it doesn't go everywhere?
I don't know. Is it like the two shells in Demolition Man?
It's a little bit like that. Yeah, that's what I think of every time I see it.
It is.
Well, yeah, hey, Brett,
what?
I saw that you were angry at something. Knocking angry. Nostalgia the other day.
Oh, yeah, it was Luke sent something, didn't he?
He was more angry.
he was angry. Angry enough to send it to him. So, yeah, some knobhead just saying, oh, it's dangerous or something. Nostalgia's dangerous. Well, fuck off, man.
I know, but, like, you just don't need to engage with those accounts that are just.
I didn't engage with it.
That stuff.
I didn't. It Luke sent it, so I thought I'd reply. All I put is what a load of shite.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been getting more nostalgic.
Yeah. Everything was better before, wasn't it?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's not what nostalgia is. Nostalgia isn't thinking it was better before. It's like having a fondness for something
back
that you remember, like from previous times. Like, I don't think it's saying, and that was better, so let's do it again. It's just that feeling that you might.
It was better. Let's do it again. No, it's not. But who are these Nazis who feel like they can dictate what people should be thinking of?
I like the future as well, Brett.
Do you? It's bleak.
Is it? I think of like robots and flashing lights and that.
Yeah, but they'll come eventually. It'll be good for a bit, but then they'll start to like, you know, touch me feet, and aren't we like that?
Yeah, those feet touching robots. That's the first thing I'll teach a robot to do. The West world for you. That was what happened.
They wanted, you know,
get the fuck off us, man.
Oh, wait, man, I paid for a Prusa robot. No, foot-touching one.
I didn't want a pull one.
Hey, now what's the final season of Westworld recently?
Oh, it was rather
gone downhill.
I don't think I finished the third one, but maybe I did and just forgot all about it.
Yeah, it's not a good sign.
It wasn't good, was it? Like,
no.
But Brett entirely changed what it was about.
I know, they really have. I mean, the first two
get them back in the fucking game zone.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it was just
but if
terrible.
You think about the Crystal Maze, they had loads more zones they could have done.
They definitely did. Even in the Westworld film, there's the medievals world, isn't there?
Mm-hmm, exactly, we didn't see that. And also, they made the mistake of having that fella from Breaking Bad in it, who is really not very good.
Yeah, that was an error, wasn't it? That was an error.
And also, what's that lass's name who's in it? The one who Marilyn Manson abused.
Oh,
I
yes.
I know that's not how she should be defined, but I can't remember her name.
I can't remember her name.
But she was good when she was playing a robot, wasn't she? But when she was meant to be human, she was quite robotic.
Was she meant to be human? I can't
remember. I don't know what happened, but you know.
Nah. But I think she's quite a good actress. She's very good, but you know, Rachel something, is that what her name is?
Rachel Evan Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Wright was good and everything, but then there was too many versions of him.
and he can see all eventualities or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very confusing.
It was confusing, but I think in the first series, you felt like it was like worth it. But then by the third one, I was like,
It's not fun anymore. Hey, I watched a good film.
Okay, go on.
Cliff, I watched a good film on YouTube from 1976. No, it wasn't Psych Guys. It was a film, a horror film called Alice, Sweet Alice. Very good.
I like the sound of it.
About a murderous child who wears a mask.
Okay, where's it from? What's it all about?
It's really good because in the end, you still don't really know what's going on. Different things could have happened, and it's up to you to make up your own mind.
So why is it on YouTube?
I don't know. There's a load of films on YouTube, so I decided to watch that. Hey, you know how you were talking about, like, you know, VHS covers and stuff like that, and they were great, especially the horrors.
Yes.
Well, there was
Critters,
yeah. Well, there was one that used to freak us out, and it wasn't Hellraiser because that used to freak you out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't like
but
that.
But it was a film called The Stuff.
The Stuff.
Right? The Stuff, yeah. And on the cover, this man's face is like melting, right?
Uh-huh.
And I watched that yesterday as well. It's about a yogurt that takes over the world.
I like the sound of that.
It's one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time.
So is that your film recommendations for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, watch Alice, Sweet Alice, because it's a bit nasty and
horrible. Is it like a British film, American film? Is there anyone you should know?
No, nobody that you'll recognise is in that film at all. Mm-hmm. It's a cult favourite, though, is Alice, Sweet Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want a bit of a laugh, why don't you go out and watch The Stuff?
The Stuff, okay. You want to hear about the two films that I watched?
Go on, then.
Well, one of them was Brandon Cronenberg's Infinity Pool.
Oh, no. I was going to watch it.
Have you heard?
And then I read about it. Well, I read a little. I read what it was about, and I thought, "Nah."
What did I'm you not read? Like? This. Can you do a mini synopsis of what you read, and I'll tell you what it was actually like?
I read there was pissing involved and penises and stuff like that.
A lot of penises, yeah. That's not why
a
I
lot
don't
of
like
penises.
It.
But I didn't like his previous film. What was his other one called?
Possessor.
Possessor.
I quite like that.
I didn't, and. So that pours off, you know. If I didn't like his first film, which is supposed to be better than this one,
this one is horrible, absolutely horrible, disgusting, horrible, not enjoyable. It's the type of film that when I was 20, I would have loved. Uh-huh. I would have definitely said I loved it. And I would have like really wanted to get involved in it. But now, nah, no, absolutely no chance. It is awful. It's a nasty,
it's a horrible,
awful, horrible watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I don't like that sort of stuff.
Also, Infinity Pool sounds nice, doesn't it?
Does sound nice, huh? I'd like to be in one. An Infinity Pool. I don't think I've ever been
not
in
this
one.
Kind of Infinity Pool, which is nothing no. like what the brochures would lead you to believe. it's what's his name? It Scar.
I thought it was his brother.
It's one of them. I don't know, one of them.
True
he's
Blood,
the one that's
Scars
in,
God.
He's the one Tarzan. That's in Succession.
Yeah, it's the more Tarzan handsome one. The True Blood one. Yes,
okay, yes, it's him. And and a lady who's his wife in it. I can't remember what her name is. And they're
yeah,
in
you
some...
can, because you like her.
Well, no, because it's a different woman. No, it's a different woman.
Oh, it's a different woman. Okay.
And they're in some kind of White Lotus kind of resort. We've talked about White Lotus before. So they're in some this kind of resort, but they're not allowed off the properties. And also it's a bit weird when they're bringing you the dinner, they've all got these horrible, grotesque masks on. You're not meant to go out of the boundaries of the place, of the resort, but they meet a couple of like quite flirty strangers, a couple that convince them to do so. One of them is Miss Mia Goth. So they go out for a barbecue on the beach. She wanks Skarsgård off when no one's watching. You don't see the wanking, but you see the spunk hitting the rocks. That's a bit weird. So obviously, you know, like not all's quite right with them, and they, you know, we shouldn't be out here. On the way back, they run someone over, Brett, and that couple are saying, we just need to hush this up. Like, no good will come of it. This is an island where you'll get into bother. They'll just kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be seen of again. Anyway, the police do come anyway. They decide to, like, just brush him off to the side of the road, this poor fella. The police do come to arrest him. And the police have got some kind of pact with the embassy of the US or whatever, wherever this island is, where instead of killing him, what they'll do is clone him. And then the bereaved family have the chance to kill him, but they'll clone him instead, so they'll kill
original
the
original one.
Yeah, so they'll kill
the
clone. The
one who's done the original crime.
A little bit like you kind of don't know which one's which.
Right.
And what happens is this happens, and then he falls in with this crowd that just do this for a living. Like, this is their entire life. They go and commit crimes, get a clone, kill them. So they can do anything they want because they're just in this cycle.
You know what, Cliff? It sounds like a bit of a waste of time.
Even last 2 minutes was a waste of time. But then
why go to the lengths of cloning someone if they've made a terrible mistake?
Just some so kind of reciprocal agreement with the embassy.
It's fucking stupid, isn't it?
Honestly, it's horrible.
Well, pile of shit. That's
horrible.
I won't be watching that.
But what I would
what
say...
What else did you watch?
Well, and then I became... The high point of that film was the lady Mia Goth, who seems to be a bit of a rising star. And I've noticed there's a new film came on out starring her called Pearl, which is my daughter's name.
Yes.
But
it
it's
is.
A horror.
I haven't seen that one yet.
And it looks a bit nasty, so I haven't watched it because I don't know if I want to associate that with that. Uh-huh. But the fella's previous film called X came out last year.
Yes.
And that's also got Mia Goth in it. Have you seen that?
I have seen that, yes.
So that was the second film I watched this week. What do you think of that one?
I enjoyed it. I thought, it was
I thought
good.
That was great.
Is it the old couple with the old? They're making a porn, aren't they?
A horrendous old couple. The old couple are making a porn. They're quite angry that there's a porn.
Yeah. But the Mia Goth and her group are making a porn, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. It's set in the 70s, filmed like the 70s, like in a little bit kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of style, slash typical 70s porn style that you would imagine that the tropes are. Yeah. And they stayed on a farm where they're going to film this porn. But the old couple that run the farm are fucking murderous creeps and also perverts as well.
Yes. Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
It was
one.
Great.
That was
really, really good.
Uh-huh. It was. I did enjoy that one. So I watched that Pearl one because apparently it's a prequel in some way. I was reading.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well,
I think
Mia Goth
so.
Also stars in that. So
yes.
I was talking to Mark Dinnan, who's been on the podcast. About him coming back on, actually, and I told him I'd watched both of those films, and he was like, oh, I'm desperate to watch Infinity Pool. I was like, well, no. However, Mia Goth is like standout, and he was like, don't get started on her. I'm obsessed with her. I was like, right, you're in. So, and he loves X as well, so we were talking about that for a while, but he hadn't seen Pearl either. So, yeah, just great. Like, I thought that was just clever, stylish, a bit different. I loved it. Took all of those nice bits of those 70s horrors that we've watched and talked about on here and like give it a bit of an ironic kind of like,
yeah,
look at
a bit grindhousey as well, isn't
it? Yeah, it
Do you
was.
Know
yeah,
what I mean, that
so
I
like that.
It is good.
Tell you what else,
too.
From Goth to Moth. I ended up with a massive moth in my shirt the other day, Brett, and that was scarier than either of those films.
Was it eating your clothes?
I could feel it like flickering away. It was horrible. It was horrible.
But I don't really. I don't like moths at all.
I hate them. I mean,
the horrible
like they're
things.
Probably my worst animal.
Very powdery wings. Some of them very powdery. Well, have you noticed that?
I don't like it at all. Like, I hate everything about it. I was felt sick to the core, but I was in public. And I couldn't freak out as much as I really wanted to, so I had to try and hold it together. But let me tell you, Brett, I will probably never sleep ever again as a result of the interaction. I saw it flying around, and it went past me. And then I've just felt like being kind of like flickered in me.
Real life, reality, it's far more terrifying than any of these horror films that we could watch. Just get a moth in your top. That's all you need to do.
But there's some good news, Brett.
Mm-hmm. You That's know good, was it?
You know the ads that everybody hates?
Uh-huh.
Well, we've made $50.
Yeah. Wow. How's that come about, like?
Just because, like, the ads and that? I don't know.
How does that work? Like?
It's as yet unknown how we reclaim the money. But
hey, yeah, that is good news. I mean, we don't know how it works, how it's happened.
No.
But there you go.
Well, it'll pay for us paying for this, so, you know.
Exactly.
Well, that's
exactly.
Good. So that's a bit
that
of good
news,
isn't it?
It is. I'll tell Wall us. Hey, that's the first time this podcast made any kind of money.
Yes, it is.
There you go.
Instead of just cost us money and time and stress most of the time. But when we do it, we do it.
Exactly. That is the way.
Also, I've been getting a little bit, like I was saying, like I've been getting a bit nostalgic. Do you think you get more nostalgic as you get older? I guess you've got more of the past to look back on, I suppose.
That is definitely true. You've got more to look on, haven't you? So I think that is a big part of it.
But what I've been getting into is stuff that I remember kind of subconsciously from being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably the same. In fact, I know you will be. We used to go out in the car. Me, Mum and Dad would always have tapes in, but it was always like, whatever, like Love Hits from 1985 or whatever, or the Best of Elton John, and you know that kind of the Now record, the Now tapes and stuff would have been
Jive Bunny,
obviously Jive Bunny, but that's just my thing. So I started getting into loads of 80s stuff that I always thought was like super cheesy and like didn't like before. But now if it comes on, I'm absolutely loving it. In particular, Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. Can't get enough of it.
Well, well, my son has brought us to the fact that Noel Gallagher said that Tears for Fears were the greatest 80s band. Apparently.
Have you listened to albums and stuff?
And I haven't listened to the one that song. What's that one called? The Tears.
Is it on the Hurt? Main one? I think.
It's not on that. No, what's the other one called?
The one after it? I can't remember. I'm only like just getting into it, really. But
are you?
But well, I think because they brought an album out.
I've heard the
year.
Greatest hits, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lad at work who went to see Tears for Fears.
Yeah.
Or so he thought. And he turned up at the festival or whatever, and Tears for Fears had cancelled at the last minute. So I think Lisa Stansfield or someone came on. He was devastated.
It's not like for like, is it? I don't mind Lisa Stansfield, but it's not the same.
I think he got his money back in the end. But it's not like
they brought out an album last year, and I think I read a few interviews with them, and I always remember them because they were massive in the 80s, weren't they? But they were kind of on that cusp between cool and pop, I suppose. Oh shit, I've just been attacked by a bird. Oh. There's all kinds of stuff at play here.
You love the wildlife view, don't you, Cliff?
No,
I mean, they're attracted to you. You're a bit like a thin Bilotti, aren't you?
Did somebody told us I was like a scarecrow before, so I think it might be that.
Well, why did
it? Be the opposite, wouldn't it?
They keep away from me if you're a scarecrow,
don't
they? I'll stick with thin Bilotti.
A failed scarecrow and a Thilbin Oddie. Thilbin Oddie.
Thilbin Oddie.
Anyway.
You were talking about Tears for Fears?
Tears for Fears, yeah. Well, I'm just like, there was some really, really good interviews last year. Some of the stuff that they've been through, what the new album was about, just really interesting. So I've watched a few like live concerts and stuff like that. Excuse me. And started listening to them a bit more. But that song, which was absolutely massive, obviously, when we were kids.
Yeah.
And I'd never really listened to it properly because obviously it's just one of those that you know, a bit like Hey Jude, like you just know it. But I've started listening to it properly in the last week or so. It's absolutely amazing song. Like it's brilliant. Like,
yeah.
Listen to
it. I mean, there's a lot of connections with the Oasis and stuff. I mean, they're two brothers, aren't they? For a start.
Are they?
Yeah, I'm sure the brothers, them too.
One's called Roland Olazabal and one's called Kurt Smith. So I'm not sure they're brothers.
they look exactly alike, though, don't they?
I guess so, but I don't think they're brothers. Unless they're stepbrothers.
I thought they were brothers. Anyway, and the other thing that Lennon said was that Noel Gallagher said that Shout was the best song of the 80s and they were the best
song.
Band. It is a good song. But yeah, maybe it causes for a little bit more listening, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be up for it. Well, what else going on? Or do you want to talk about the thing we're going to talk about?
Okay, we'll just talk about the thing we're going to talk about. I'm looking forward to your synopsis of it.
Well, I haven't got it. It's hard one for a synopsis, because it doesn't really exist.
That's why I'm looking forward to it. You're overtake turns and stuff.
Uh-huh, I know.
What the hell are we watching?
Well, it was my suggestion because I saw it being recommended by a fella on Twitter called Grant McPhee, who's a filmmaker. He's made some amazing films about Scottish music in the 80s and 90s. New Gold Dream and a couple of those. There was one recently. He's co-authored a book about it all as well. Everything about like kind of indie music in Scotland, he's made these amazing films about. Now, follow him on Twitter. He's seems like a really good bloke, and he's always full of suggestions for music and films and stuff like that. In particular, if you don't follow him, Brett, he's always recommending like horrors from the 60s and 70s and stuff like that. So I would recommend him. Anyway,
we'll follow him on the Flea Circus thing, man.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So he like tweeted about this, saying, "Oh, this has been off YouTube for years, and now it's back, and it's worth a watch." So I watched it and then suggested you should watch it. It's called Beatlemania. 1982, Liverpool and LA conventions for Beatle fans. Quite a long name. and in fact, does the job of a synopsis. So this is essentially a documentary looking at Beatlemania in 1982.
Yes.
But through the eyes of people going to conventions and back to places that, you know, going on the Beatles tours that we've been to and stuff like that. So yeah, it's like a, not a fly in the wall documentary, but has lots of talking heads of people that are at these conventions in Liverpool and in LA. And that's essentially it.
It is.
And there's no voiceover.
It's called the Fest for the Beatles in LA. Because I'm sure they have a website and I've bought a John Lennon top off them before.
Okay.
And they were sending sort of emails and stuff like that for like this annual get together that they have.
Okay.
About the Beatles every year or whatever. So I think that's where it is, the Fest for the Beatles, I think it's called.
Okay. So yeah, I watched it and I thought it was interesting. And it was clips and stuff that I'd never seen before. A couple of clips of the Beatles I'd never seen before, but also the fans and stuff. I've never seen any of these interviews before because it's from just when we were born, really. And it was like 12 years later when the anthology and stuff came out. And at this time, there was a kind of prototype anthology being worked on, I think, that never came to see the light of day, called The Complete Beatles, like EAT Complete. And I could only assume that this was maybe going to feed into that or something, but I'm absolutely guessing at that. So I think
it could have been on one of those great programs that I remember being a kid, like Arena or something.
Yes,
can you remember the bottle floating about. And
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
It could have been on that. It had a great theme tune. Did Arena?
Yeah, you can still watch them on the iPlayer. Like, there's some good stuff on there.
But that's what reminds me of one of those, just like a one-off documentary on a, you know, random subject or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was like, I think, wasn't it?
What did you think, Brett?
I thought, I enjoyed anything to do with the Beatles I'll watch. Do you know what I mean? But it was very interesting sort of to see the fans that have grown up with the Beatles and kind of what they were like 20 years later after the fact. And
I think that's what
they thought of stuff, of whether they were still Beatles fans or, you know. Obviously, they're still Beatles fans. They're still as fanatical as they were, you know, in the 60s.
I think that's what I enjoyed about it. Because normally, like, what we're used to is seeing clips from the 60s and then seeing talking heads from now, but normally of the Beatles. Like, you don't really get fan reaction that much. And this was all about those fans. But like you say, 1982... only 12 years after the Beatles broke up, but it's about the Beatlemania part of it. So, what, 15 to 20 years after Beatlemania, and these people were going to see the gigs, whether that was in a cavern or Shea Stadium or whatever. And I think that's what was different, was watching people who were fans, but also at this point, I guess, about 30. Between 30 and 35, which is very different to watching people in their 60s going, yeah, well, you know, back in the 1960s. And I thought that's what was interesting about it.
It was. I mean, they didn't look like they were in the 30s. Bless them. Some of them.
Fashions change, don't they?
They certainly do. I don't know what that is, where you look at people and, you know, they look really old, these poor ladies, didn't they? But they probably weren't. Yeah, they probably would, but they were still sort of as fanatical as ever, and I guess it's thing that you were talking about, the start, the nostalgia thing. They're looking back on their young lives and you know, and what they used to do, and the lengths that they used to go to sort of meet the Beatles, especially the American fans who seem to have an unlimited supply of money just to do whatever they want. Either that or plane fares were incredibly cheap.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, you talk about and we hear about in these kind of documentaries and stuff about the rise of the teenager from the late 50s and early 60s, from Elvis to the Beatles and stuff. And it's quite hard. We were teenagers. We had, you know, music and gigs and football and all kinds of stuff. But I suppose at this point it was different. But clearly, on the basis of this film, it was very different into America as it was in England as well. Like, they're living the high life, aren't they? Like, in England, they're like, definitely, having to sneak out of, like, working down the pits and stuff to go watch them.
The impression that I got was obviously Elvis never left, you know, America. He never toured anywhere else or anything. So that sort of teenage thing kicked off with him. And it seemed to me that the teenage thing kicked off here with the Beatles.
Yeah.
That was the difference. Yeah. And the other thing that sort of came through on the documentary is just the fans talking is, you know, the fans in Liverpool and stuff were devastated when sort of Please Please Me, you know, got a number one or whatever, yeah, because they knew that they were going to lose the Beatles, yeah, and they weren't going to be in the Cavern as much. And obviously fans in America were over the moon because it meant that they were definitely going to see the Beatles and yeah, things like that. So it's like a change. So there's a difference from sort of, you know, Liverpool and LA. There was a kind of loss in Liverpool. And yeah, a kind of gaining of the Beatles in LA type thing.
Well, the
thing,
rest
you know,
of the world, I suppose.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, I suppose they were that band that everybody seemingly went to see every lunchtime or whatever for like 3 years or something, or 2 years. So the realization that actually they'd outgrown that, and there was people so fanatical about them, which is what this is about, is like, it's probably inevitable. But I think it's, for me, it was like you hear that story on the anthology and other documentaries that have been out since, you know, the 90s to now, going, oh, yeah, you know, we realized we were going to lose them and we were gutted. You're actually talking on this documentary to people who are still quite raw, like from 15 years earlier. They're like, yeah, we were still fucking, good, like, devastated, and they're still angry or upset about it. And I think just that closeness is something I've never seen before, that closeness to the period itself. I think we spoke before about the idea that, you know, we can listen to all the Beatles songs now and love them, all the albums, and we can buy them all at once. But at one point, there was people listening to them like one song at a time, one album at a time. And like, we'll never have that. And like, we'll never have that idea of what it must have been like to witness them and then realize that they were gone if you loved them so much.
Well, that's it. I mean, obviously, you know, if you or a teenage girl or whatever, and you're sneaking into the Cavern like the two girls are talking about, you know, the covering their tops and stuff, you know, the school tops and things like that, so they can get in and put a bit of makeup on. Obviously, you know, the realization that they are going to be global, you know, you would be good, wouldn't you? I mean, because they're seeing the Beatles every lunchtime, like you say, in the Cavern and stuff. And I mean, by this time, the Cavern doesn't exist. It's been demolished, hasn't it?
Yeah, and you watch it being demolished, which is just like, even I still can never get my head around it now, but like, what a weird decision that was.
Odd, isn't it?
Like, and there's still people there to witness it being demolished, and obviously that fellow, Alan, what's his name? Bob Wooler, who was the Cavern guy, like, they're talking about it while it's being demolished, like, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Like, I don't know whether they realize that.
There's a big crowd of people there to see it being demolished. Why is it being demolished? I don't get it. Do you know? I mean, obviously the Cavern's in a different place now, isn't it? It's not the original Cavern. It's in a slightly different area.
Yeah.
But why did they do it? I just don't get it. Unless it was derelict or something.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was, but maybe there was just no desire to do it up or preserve it, or there mustn't have been. But like thinking about it in 1982, like watching this, it seems like weird that they were doing it. Like, I'm sure they're doing it in development, right? Because they put that there's a like mall there that we've both been into, which is full of Beatles shops. So what the fuck?
Well, I don't know. It's a strange one, and Bob Wallace sort of saying, oh, we're trying to find like the steps and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're saying like you can find it under
preserve
the rubble.
The steps, like, eh? it would just don't knock it down then.
Yeah, that was a really weird section. I thought like watching that was strange, and like, you know, you watch it and with a little bit more perspective now, going, yeah, Liverpool Council or whoever at the time must have now.
Yeah, what foolish decision. I mean, you've been in the Cavern. I've been twice. I don't know how many times you've been, and it's always massively jumping and busy. It's great atmosphere, even though it's in a different sort of area of Liverpool. Not far, but
well, just down the
it's
road,
like a recreation, isn't it, of the cavern? That's what it is. But it's, I mean, when did the cavern ever stop being busy? Or I don't get it.
Maybe, I don't know, but like it's just like down the road, like from where it was before. So just I think it's weird.
It is odd.
But yeah, so there's that bit. But I think like we've seen that you've seen the British fans and stuff a little bit, and it's still interesting listening to those girls who are now ladies talking about what they used to do to get in there and stuff. But I feel like the American stuff is a little bit more interesting in terms of this documentary because it's a bit weirder.
It is a bit weird. I mean, like I've said, they go to a you know larger lengths to try and get a hold of the Beatles and stuff like that. I mean, the two Liverpool lasses that are talking, I did like them sort of having a little bit of a chat and saying, oh, remember when we saw Paul McCartney and stuff like that and he was going at the toilet or whatever?
Yeah.
He looked a bit tacky, didn't he? he had holes in his trousers and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that Paul like McCartney's like walking around Liverpool with holes in his trousers and things.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, I suppose. I like that bit, and they're talking about it. And I saw John Lennon, but it wasn't really John that I liked. It was George, so I was a bit gutted. I saw John, but it turned out he was a really nice look.
I fainted in front of John Lennon, but I didn't come to see him. And then when I came round, it was George standing in front of us. That's who I wanted to see, and I just grabbed him.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I wouldn't let go.
Oh, I've done it again.
You've done it again. Jesus Christ, man.
We're back.
Drink our fingers.
I don't think I did it there. I don't know.
You must have done it.
I'm very much struggling with this new computer. I've got
you very much are. I mean, Jesus Christ.
In work as well. My productivity has decreased. I don't know how to work it.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, there you go anyway. Hey, we're talking about Beatlemania and that, weren't we?
Mm-hmm. When we got cut off. I wanted to ask what you thought about two things. One, there's a George Harrison impersonator in this.
Yes.
What did you make of that?
I had nightmares for two nights running from the man. I mean, he's so weird, isn't he? He keeps doing like this odd George smile from the 60s, doesn't he? And it's really freaky. I mean, he does look a bit like him.
He looks a bit like him, and he sounds like him at first, but then when he starts explaining how to sound like him, doesn't sound like him anymore.
He doesn't. I mean, it's a very odd... what looks like is he's received plastic surgery to look like George Harrison. That's what it looks like.
Like, unwelcoming?
It is. Well, yeah, it is. He looks like a Madame Tussauds sort of dummy.
Don't get me started on Madame Tussauds.
I've never been a Madame Tussauds.
No, well, why would you? Just look at the fucking picture of the
Hey, I think I'd quite like to go. Are you allowed to touch them, Cliff?
You can get inside them if you want. I think that's the biggest draw.
Can you put that face?
Extra tenner. You can get inside.
Right. Uh-huh. I've never been.
So yeah, this Harrison fella. Have you read any of the comments under the YouTube video?
Hey, Cliff, no, I haven't.
Somebody says, what's with that Harrison impersonator? Uh-huh. And I'm going to read out what the reply is. I've got it right
here.
Go on,
then.
what's with that Harrison fella? I don't know if that's the voice that they use. Where is it?
I think George Harrison,
a George Harrison clone. And somebody says, Navigator by the Stars says, that was Danny Lopez, a very good friend of mine. And actually, that was the first that I met him. And I've now gone on to know him personally for over 40 years. He's gone on to be the world's greatest Johnny Depp lookalike these days. Look him up. He'll blow your mind. I want to thank you for posting this footage. I was there at the Bonaventura Hotel at the Beatle Fest that year. Our group, Twist and Shout, won Battle of the Bands that year. The guy after Denny that looks like Lennon, his name is Stephen Green. And the original poster, who just said George Harrison clone, Stephen Rutter, just replied saying, thank you for that information.
So this George, because Johnny Depp does not look like George Harrison. So has he had more plastic surgery than look like Johnny Depp?
Danny Lopez, Johnny Depp.
Hey, I once met, I can't remember where this was, but there was a very good Jack Sparrow impersonator knocking around Shields. He was good.
I know who you mean, yeah. Yes, this man has 100% had plastic surgery to look like Johnny Depp. In some pictures, he looks a bit like Barry Gibb.
You think everyone looks like Barry Gibb, including yourself, though?
Hang on, what's going on here?
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. I can't see your fingering. I don't know what you're up to. Hey, the Lennon one freaked us out now, to be honest.
Yes, I'm going to send you a picture of this fella.
As Johnny Depp.
Yes, of course, not just in his normal life.
In his own guise.
I don't know if he has his own guise. I think this is him.
And that's the thing. At what point do you start losing your individuality when you're one of these impersonators? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you want to lose embodying. I think that's the thing. You want to lose.
That's the whole point. You just want to become somebody else.
I sent you a picture of him, but... admittedly, not one of these better ones. This is the one I think looks like Gibb.
It looks like our good friend Dan Ward with long hair. That is terrible, isn't it? He doesn't look like Johnny Depp at all.
He doesn't in that, but there are some... basically, there's lots of them where he's just wearing like scarves and glasses and hats. You know what I mean? Like all of the stuff that Johnny Depp would wear that covers up the majority of his face.
The hardest thing, if you were a Johnny Depp impersonator, is that little beard that he's got, because that's it. The picture that you've sent me, his beard is far too pronounced, where Johnny Depp's sort of little tash and, you know, little goatee type thing. It's very subtle, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's far too. That just looks like
a picture of Jeff Beck here as well. Is it Jeff Beck?
Is it Jeff Beck? Or is it? Well, they were in a band together, weren't they? Johnny Depp and Jeff Beck.
You know what I mean? Like, he's dressed up as Jack Sparrow. Like, doesn't mean you look like Johnny Depp, does it? Like, that's... there's all kinds of shit goes into looking like Jack Sparrow.
What's the progression from Harrison to Depp? I don't get that.
Well, here there's a picture of him dressed as... Willy Wonka, and that's probably the crossover.
That's at the point where he thought, yeah, I can do
this. Oh, there's some pictures, some little bunnies.
It does look like Wardy, though, doesn't it? A bit like Wardy.
No, you said it, one. Yeah, it does look a bit like him.
Well, which is good for Wardy, if we're saying that he's looking like, you know, it looks a bit like Johnny Depp.
It looks a bit like a Johnny Depp person, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for him, isn't it? Anyway.
And by extension, he looks like Johnny Depp. Yes. So the impersonators were freaky. That is horrible. That is horrible. He looks like he's in Erasure or something. Doesn't he? It doesn't look like Willy Wonka. Oh, I like Erasure. But he does look like he's in Erasure. That is not Willy Wonka. At all. That's awful. That's terrible.
I'm on his website now. I'm going to try and book him.
What for? He's coming to... who do you try to book before? It was like them twins from Funhouse. Didn't even reply, did they?
Or you can book him as any of the following: Captain Jack, Willy Wonka, Edward Scissorhands, the Mad Hatter, John Dillinger, if you want.
Why would you want him as John Dillinger? That's rubbish, isn't it?
Just a man.
just a man. Everyone keeps banging on about that film Public Enemies, don't they? It's one of Depp's best films.
I'd love not somebody.
People never shut up about that.
Not somebody who looks like John Dillinger. Why ever you got that? Somebody who looks like Johnny Depp playing.
Yeah, what? Well, that's so stupid. Fucking hell.
Anyway, let's move on from Danny.
He's going to have like a that's fucking Tommy gun. Is he? That's it.
He's got a Tommy gun and an old car.
And an old car. It was just an excuse for him to buy an old car. What's this guy's name?
Danny Lopez.
Danny Lopez.
I tell you what, who's on this?
Good luck to you, Mr. About. Lopez.
Kenny Everett.
Yeah, Kenny Everett. That is actually one of the things that I didn't realise.
That he was mates with him.
I knew he was a DJ and stuff like that. And he's from Liverpool, isn't he, Kenny Everett?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Uh-huh. But I never realised he was at Chase Stadium with them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know all of that. I kind of knew them, but yeah.
So that was one of the surprising things for me. I mean, did you used to like Kenny Everett when you were a kid?
Yes, because he was stupid.
Yeah. I used to love watching
him. I think that was what was amazing about him. And I remember, like, he was just massive, wasn't he, in the 80s? My mum and dad loved him. He'd watch his show every week. I obviously remember the Beatles sketches. I remember he did, like,
he was Freddie Mercury,
Claire Rayner, was she the agony aunt? And he used to do, like, a pretend agony aunt with, like, huge boobs, like he was dressed up like an old woman.
And he used to swing his legs around and
he's
stuff,
mates
didn't
with
he?
Freddie Mercury and stuff. Yeah, the swinging his legs about. He was mates with Freddie Mercury, wasn't he, as well? Mates.
He was.
Lovers.
Yeah, uh-huh. But when he was dressed as a woman, he still had the beard.
Yeah.
He used to shave off the beard.
I feel like we need to watch some Kenny Everett because he was absolute chaos, wasn't he? I think that's what was amazing about him when we were a kid. Like, because he was just, it was crackers, wasn't it? Like, it was... For mainstream TV, he was so off the wall and like, what seemed like just daft.
It's what you want to see as a kid, don't you? Someone being silly, and he was silly but funny as well. I mean, he was very funny, but this sort of, you know, like I say, I knew he was a DJ, but I had no idea he was kind of following the Beatles around. And he was at Chase Stadium and all that kind of stuff with
He was
them.
Like one of the first, like, he was a pioneering DJ, wasn't he? Like, pirate DJs and then Radio 1 when Radio 1 was cool and all of that. Like, he was one of the first, alongside John Peel and all of those guys that were, like, alternative DJs. Like, he probably deserves... He's forgotten about a bit, isn't he? But I feel like he should...
He shouldn't be, should he? I mean, he was incredibly funny. And again, you know, remember him watching his show as a kid and just pissing myself laughing.
Did a punk,
you know,
character, didn't he? Sid Snot.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he was just off the wall crazy and he was funny. And I loved him as a kid, like, you know. So, but when he first came on this documentary, I was like, well, what's Kenny Everett doing on here?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Because he's on for like a snippet of like 15 seconds at the start. And I was Kenny Everett. Yeah. No, but I mean, really obviously, me and you've read Beatles books and stuff like that. I've never associated Kenny Everett with the Beatles at all.
No, he doesn't really get mentioned.
No, strange one, like. But interesting.
Yes, so he's in it. The two ladies that you're talking about, the two Scouse ladies. In their blue outfits, are called Alice O'Hagan and Jean Tart. They're good. Uh-huh. I like.
They are good. I do like them.
They're really nice. I think the stories are good as well.
I think the stories are obviously more intimate because, like, you know, they went to see you know, the Beatles at the Cavern and stuff like that, and because they're in such close proximity to them and stuff like that, the story about they would turn up to see them, and obviously there'd be like support acts and stuff like that on before the Beatles. Yeah. So all the lasses would have like the rollers in, and then when the Beatles would come on, the rollers would come out and all that kind of stuff. I like that. That's class. That. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's great. I also like in this. There's I'm not a big fan of the Enemy man. I don't like him very much.
Chris I must have bypassed him.
He doesn't really seem like a music journalist. So there we go. Tony Barrows just started there. He's good. The press officer in those days. I liked him.
Yeah, he was good.
So there's a lot of like,
Who's talking about, like, you know, after Lennon made his comment about being bigger than Jesus.
That's
and
it,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And yep. it there's like firecrackers going off, and I thought that they were shot and stuff like that, and Ringo putting his symbols down in case he had, you know, someone had took a pot shot at him or something.
Yeah, I think it's a good, interesting watch because it's just a different set of people talking about the Beatles that maybe we're used to now. And I think that's why I enjoyed it. And also, the other thing is and it is mostly ladies who are talking about watching the Beatles back in the 60s. They just, you can see it in their faces that they're straight back to being like 14, 15, 16. They're so like joyous about it all. Like it just, even though they're grown-ups now when they're talking, they're just straight back to being like excited teenagers and kids. And that's just a wonderful thing to watch, like people.
Yeah, and the thing that I was thinking about was there ever a lull, you know, in the sort of 80s or whatever, where the Beatles weren't quite
I think
popular. I mean, because the Oasis thing brought them all back, didn't it?
Yeah, it coincided with the anthology, which is like perfect timing. I always thought that towards the end of the 70s they weren't that popular anymore. But I mean, this is only from stuff I've read, because I guess all of their solo careers, apart from Paul McCartney's, Lennon's was non-existent. George Harrison was just not popular. Ringo was like living a different life, let's say. And other than Wings, who were huge, it just wasn't a thing. So I always thought that towards the end of the 70s, they weren't that popular, but sadly, John Lennon died and probably reignited like a lot of Beatles stuff. So this is just after that, right? So this is probably like peak.
Well, it's just after, isn't it? It was Double Fantasy 80 or?
Yeah, just 81. After he died. So like 80, 81 when it was, he still would have been riding high. And then I think all of the Beatles brought out stuff that kind of referenced Beatlesy stuff after that. So I think this is probably when it was at its peak, but I don't know. I feel like it probably died off again and then picked up again in the early 90s.
Probably you would imagine, like, you know, when like New Romantics and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, mid-80s,
it might have sort of died off again. Yeah, and
it wasn't
Beatles-y music that was the norm at that point. It wasn't like guitar-y or piece bands. But I think the CD reissues, or the first times they came out on CD, was like 1987, something like that. So I think it came back a bit again then because they were all released on CD. But yeah, I don't know. That's what I was thinking, the exact same thing. Like, were they that popular at this point, or is it just to talk to absolute nutcases who loved them?
I mean, going back to obviously the most recent thing, is obviously, you know, the Let It Be thing that we watched and stuff, which was absolutely amazing. You know, eventually, are they going to run out? You know, there's only so many times that you can reissue the albums, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, they'll run out of stuff, and I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, the people talk about the Apple being like, you know, vault full of stuff, don't they? You know,
I think there's also
the worry is that they're going to run out of that.
I think there's a desire not to release just any old shit. I know there's a lot of people kind of complain that when the new reissues are coming out, why is they only X, Y, and Z on it when we know there's all of this stuff. And Giles Martin and other people have said, well, yeah, like, we don't want to scrape the barrel. Like, we want to keep everything that comes out as being good. So, I don't know. Eventually, maybe they'll just release more and more stuff and it gets worse and worse. Don't know. Anyway.
I mean, they're timeless anyway, the Beatles, aren't they? I mean,
I think so.
But the thing is, sometimes, you know, as kids, I think, you know, people need a bit of a jolt and a bit of a reminder or whatever.
It comes back, doesn't it? It always comes back. I mean, there's probably people watching that Let It Be who are 20 years younger than us, which means in 20 years' time, there'll be people 20 years younger than them discovering stuff. So
yeah,
I think that's the thing. It's not like it's going away, is it? It's still there.
Oh, no.
It'll be available.
I mean, definitely.
So I think it'll still work. Would you like a quiz?
Oh, yes.
Well,
I surely
would. Quiz.
What's it about, though?
It's in keeping with the Beatlemania theme and Chase Stadium. I've got a quiz about record attendance concerts.
When you said it's in keeping with what we've just talked about, it's got nothing to do with that, has it?
Just busy concerts.
Busy concerts. All right. Let's go then.
Well, there is. You know, there is. Yeah, last question.
I'll take you for a clip, yes.
Okay. Right.
Go on.
So we're talking about concerts, single night concerts. So we're talking about the attendance and one night for a single artist. So not a festival, not whatever. Like, so a gig by one person. And we're only talking about people and bands that have had more than 100,000 people in the audience. Okay?
Right.
There's a whole...
There's a majority of these in Argentina.
A lot of them are in Argentina, yes.
Great, go on then.
Or Mexico.
Yeah.
There's a good, there's Leeds is in there, Prague's in there.
Right.
You know, there's a full, the full.
Over 100,000, right? Come on then.
More than 100,000 people, right? So here's a nice, easy one for you to start with. Which band sold 125,000 tickets to see them on two nights in a row at Nebworth Park in Stevenage, UK?
Well, I think that might be Oasis.
It was Oasis, yeah. So there you go. They come about in the middle of this list.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Quite a feat, though, isn't it? Quite a feat.
Amazing. I remember being really annoyed that Robbie Williams broke that record, but really, it's the same attendance. He just did an extra night.
I'm just very annoyed with Robbie Williams.
Also,
so I'll be throughout my life.
Years later. So, yeah. Anyway.
You don't get the adverts from over here, do you?
No.
He sings on a cat advert now.
Does he?
Robbie Williams. I mean, he should have started off like that. He should have just remained at that level.
I feel like he's a troubled man, to be honest. So that was 125,000 people at that. We're only going to go up, Brett. So that's your lowest attendance, okay?
Right, okay.
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
That will.
We move forward
in
time. No, backwards in time. But
I don't know whether I'm coming. Backwards or forwards.
On the 18th of June,
1983,
these glam rock shocker America rock band took their Creatures of the Night tour to the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro with 137,000 people watching them.
Creatures of the Night.
Creatures of the Night.
Glam rock.
Well, American rock face paint.
Right, well, you just give it away there, haven't you? Is it Gene Simmons and Kiss?
It is Gene Simmons and Kiss. Just called Kiss, but yeah.
I know it is. I know it's just called Kiss. But I thought I'd just, you know, he's the main guy, and he apart from the cat.
Well, I prefer the Star Child. But okay.
Is that the right. cat?
Yes, we can move forward to... No, he's the one with the star on his face.
Who's the cat then?
Ace Frehley? No, he's probably not that one. I think it's the drummer.
okay.
Right, here we go. This is an interesting one in history. Mm-hmm. The 19th of July, 1988. This American superstar played to 160,000 people in the Radrenbahn Weissensee in East Berlin. Any ideas Ooh. Who that might be? Just before the wall came a tumbling down.
That is an odd one, isn't it? It's a solo artist, is it? Who was previously in a band?
Well, with a band.
With the band. Is it Ozzy?
No. It's the Tunnel of Love Express Tour. Any ideas on that?
No, sounds like a porn.
It's Bruce Springsteen played.
Is it?
In East Berlin, I think he was the first rock star to play there. And yeah, 160,000 people went to see him. And he said he was confused by the experience. So I read a little bit about that. Quite interesting. But yeah.
Did he play for like 10 hours in that?
He's still playing though. The wall came down while he was playing.
People got his money, that money's worth, didn't they?
You were trying to get old escape. Fucking hell, man. Get us out of here. Right, I think that's number three. So let's go. The top band, I'll tell you who the biggest gig is, but we'll never get these two. But on the 16th of January, 1988, this lady. Hey,
1988, a good year for attendance, isn't it?
Fuck, good attendance, 1988. People must have had some extra cash in their pockets. This is also at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. And it's a lady artist on the Break Every Rule World Tour. And I think somebody...
It's got to be Tina.
It is Tina, yes. And you know who would have been on that tour, don't you?
Yes, John Miles. John Miles would have been playing the guitar, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have been. Mm-hmm. So now, the top artist of people that we know who they are. On the 20th of April, 1990.
Ooh.
Played in front of 184,000 people. Also at the Maracanã Stadium at Rio de Janeiro. I'll tell you the name of the tour.
Can I guess?
Okay.
Is it Queen?
It's a solo artist. Queen is in the list. Artist. Queen played 131,000 people at Sao Paulo. So they were just in the wrong city, weren't they?
It must have been, huh? A female solo artist?
No, no, this is a man.
All right.
I'll tell you the name of the tour and then see if you can get it. The name of the tour is the Paul McCartney World Tour.
Is it Linda McCartney?
Linda McCartney's on there in the band. Yes. So yeah.
Well, Maca. I think you've given it away. Yes. Mm-hmm. So he's at the top of the list, is he?
Yeah.
He's
on the top of the list of people who we know who they are. There are.
So when you say like this, like people who we don't know.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
So. In 1999, somebody played to a crowd of 200,000 people in the Japanese city of Chiba, which I have to say I've never heard of. And that was a band called Glay. Literally no idea who they are. Japanese rock band from 1988. There are, a rock and pop band. Who obviously Glee. Are massive in Japan called Glay. So that's
mental.
So there's also three more ahead of that in Belgrade, 2005, 220,000 people, a Yugoslav rock band called Bijelo Dugmi, the most popular band ever to exist.
Especially the Yugoslav numbers have been doctored in some way.
But also, I'm looking at the cover of these fellas' album, and it just makes me want to go to this thing. Looks fucking amazing. I think we need to listen to that. So yes, there's
the third
is the
pyrotechnics.
I would imagine so, yes. also playing to 220,000 people in Modena in Italy was Vasco Rossi, also known as Vasco, or the nickname Il Blasco, singer, songwriter, and poet. So,
and poet. He played. Do you think he did a bit of poetry out to 220,000
Sometimes he
people?
Just sang without the band on stage. But
hey,
listen to this.
Yeah, go on.
In Olavarria, in Argentina, takes the top spot.
Obviously, obviously.
Playing to 500,000 people, which is not
possible. Half a million people.
Not possible. Is it? It is Indio Solari, an Argentine musician and singer, the leader of Patricio Rey y sus Redonditos de Ricota between 1976-2001.
Yep. What?
There he 500,000
people. How can you play to 500,000? That's not that.
Described as being rock, alternative rock, hard rock, and post grunge.
that's insane. How could you police?
People, where are they? Like, what's this?
Yeah.
The Parajitos Bravos Muchachitos.
Hey, the orgies love a gathering, don't they?
Do, don't they? I'm sure the Rolling Stones are always there playing in front of fucking hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, it is. It's always AC/DC and bands like that.
The old bands,
isn't
it?
Buenos Aires, aye. Like the old hard rock and stuff, which I love. But
the only other person I didn't touch on there, and I call this is the one I think is the least believable of all of them. On the 26th of January 1980, also in the Maracanã, as they say on ITV Sport, Frank Sinatra played in front of 175,000 people.
I did it my way.
Just singing.
Everyone just sitting down. What they did.
Miserable songs. 175,000
people. I went into Lennon's room and he had Frank on and I was like, what are you listening to this for? It's fucking, it's mint, this, isn't it?
What was it?
I can't remember what he was listening to. It wasn't a song he even recognised, but I don't know. He's been listening to a lot of Frank Sinatra. So.
Well, here's something, a recommendation for him and you. And I'm not the only person to know of this album, but it's getting a little bit of a reconsideration recently. There's an album called Watertown, and it's a concept album from the 60s. And it's brilliant, but obviously not normal in keeping with the normal Frank oeuvre. But I massively recommend that. So if Lennon is into it, tell him to have a look at that one up. I think he'll like it.
Right, I will. Yeah, he is. I think he likes what he likes because of more Lennon, doesn't he?
Do you know I can't I mean? See a thing now. You look, you're a complete...
I've just noticed that there's a reflection from the mirror that looks like an owl's eyes.
You look like it's just like a moon on the wall. It's very disconcerting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I am completely naked. I'd like to ask.
You're taking your clothes off. I mean, okay.
I have, yes.
Right. Well, that's the quiz. I think you did all right in that.
I think I did all
right. Quite interesting, I hope.
It was. I enjoyed it, Cliff. I did.
What the first gig to reach 100,000 people was?
Go on then.
It was the Grateful Dead in 1977 in somewhere called Englishtown, New Jersey.
I mean, it's like, you know, the one of those bands that you'd stick in with the touring bands, wouldn't you? Surely Pink Floyd have got to be in there somewhere, haven't they?
When Bump It. Another played in Prague, 1994 on the Division Bell Tour. 115,000 people, apparently. That's their record. There's another section of this, which is like free concerts. All of these are actual concerts people have paid for. But apparently 3.5 million people went to see Jean-Michel Jarre in Moscow in 1997.
3.5.
The same number that went to see Rod Stewart on Copacabana Beach in 1994.
3.5 million. That must be for the whole tour, surely.
How is that possible?
It must be. I mean, I quite like John Michelle's job. I like his stuff. My dad used to listen to it a lot.
There's not even any words.
There's not. Hey, there's a lot of owls on one of his covers.
A lot of owls, yeah. I like them. I'm not going to knock them. I tell you what, on the same vein, I also like Vangelis.
Oh, uh-huh. I like Vangelis as well. I used to listen to a lot of just what my dad used to listen to. And he used to listen to Jean-Michel Jarre and, you know, Oxygen and stuff like that, and Vangelis. And also, it was like themes from films that I'd seen. So, you know, I used to like it all.
Okay, good. What themes? Like Beauty and the Beast and stuff like that?
Like Vangelis, who did that running one, isn't it? Where they've got corns for legs.
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
I used to get confused with Ben-Hur. When I was a
did
kid.
You? It's a bit odd that I you remember the Reeves and Mortimer one where he's got corn. Sorry, no.
David Putnam, that wasn't it, Chariots of Fire. Sort of brought the UK film industry to its knees, that film.
Did it?
That's for another time. We have some music, don't we? Also in the synth pop electro genre.
We do indeed, yes, sir. We have an artist we've had before. So, yeah, I like, yeah, we've had, it's the Mao Experiment. We've had them before. It was a long time ago. It was a while ago. And obviously, you being a cat lover, you'd like the name of this song. It's Cat Caves.
I absolutely love this song, but I've got one criticism, Mao Experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be longer. Much longer. I think I could listen to this for 9 minutes, but it's very brief.
It's the 3 minute pop song.
I agree, and I loved it, but I could have just kept listening to it if it had been on longer. It was one of those songs that I thought I could have lost myself in for a bit longer. I loved it.
Maybe there's an extended version out there.
If there is, let's send it. Let's hear it. I like it. Uh-huh. Give us a 12.
Did your cat like it?
I listened to it on my headphones, so I don't know.
Did you? Do you not put the headphones on the cat to see if the cat liked it?
You know, I try not play music when the cat's around since the Pink Floyd experiment went hideously wrong.
What happened with the Pink Floyd experiment?
There was a terrible discrepancy. But anyway, that's it. Let's listen to it, and we'll see you next time with Alice Loves Alice, or whatever it is that you want to do.
I think we should do the stuff because it's funny.
Okay, I'll look out for it. Is that on YouTube as well?
No, that's not on YouTube. That.
Well, I'll see if I can find it.
See if you can find it. You reminded me of the Season of the Witch. Remember the Halloween 3?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that.
Right, nice one. All right then. Well, let's listen to the music and we'll see you next time.
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Without my true thunder, the burning sun. Without a memory that feels like one. That takes me back to the time long ago. It takes me back to the time long ago. Out to the cat caves where the water runs cold. I've been here hours and I'm seeing lost souls. Out of the cat caves, under cold. I've been here hours and I'm seeing lost souls.